pretty good. It's a great day to be in the house of the Lord, isn't it? Feels kind of cozy in here, doesn't it? We're going to two services, so there's no more talk about it. We've got a date. You guys ready? Put it on your calendar. We're going to soft launch two services the weekend after Thanksgiving. The weekend right following Thanksgiving. Now, I say soft launch because that's for us to know and for everybody else to find out. We're going to advertise for the second weekend of December. Going into Christmas, we're going to do two services. And we're going to stay at two services until we have to go to three. I'm not willing for anybody to miss out on what we have to share. Amen? I don't want anybody to miss out on what God has for this community, for this area, just because two services is a work on Sunday. You know it's okay to work on Sunday? When you're working for the Lord. Do you know that? God told us to take a Sabbath, but that's a rest day. That doesn't have to be church day. Did you know that? Your body needs to rest. It's important that we do that because it charges you and refreshes you. Take a vacation once in a while. It's good for your soul. Amen? But, you know, for Sundays, for preachers, and for those involved, this is not a rest day for us. Did you know that? And that's okay. It should be a work day because there are people showing up that need to hear the good news. They've been disillusioned to church because of what they were taught when they were younger. And I'm telling you, church is the best place you can be. This is where it's happening. This is where you find out about the plan and call of God for your life. Amen? This is where you find out what you have, gifts and talents and abilities for the kingdom of God that will matter for eternity. You don't get that from bowling club or knitting club. You get that from church. Amen? So we can reach more people. More people can come to know Jesus, and more people can get on the path that God designed for them, because Jesus is coming back. Amen? And we're going to sprint to the finish line from here on out. So it's going to be all hands on deck. So Cody mentioned that we're going to do a volunteer meeting at the end of service. If you have been through Growth Track, or you're going to go through Growth Track, which is next weekend, put that on your calendar and be here. You need to be at Growth Track. If you have not been to Growth Track, you need to be through Growth Track. That is our introduction to Westside Church and how we want you to be a part of Westside Church and what it looks like to be here. Because church is a participation event, not a spectator only. We'll let you get your feet wet. We'll let you see if this is the place for you, where God's called you to be. But once you're here, guess what? You're in. And we need help because we're going to a couple services. And there's kids that need to be taught the Word of God. And there's littles that need to be watched over and taught the Word of God, right? And there's sound and there's ushering and there's... So we're going to be talking about this for a long time because I think it's important that we recognize the importance of everybody doing their part. So stick around after that and get some tools in your hands and find out what we're doing and when where we're going, because, you know, the end of November is going to be here before you know it. And two services take some work, take some people, takes you and I to do this together. But you know what? People are getting born again, and they're getting delivered, and they're getting set free, and they're hearing the Word of God, and the Word of God is what changes lives. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Everybody vote. Thank you, Lord. Don't abdicate your God-given right to vote. Amen? And I had to stop saying vote your values, which is sad. I had to start saying vote biblical values. Because voting your values might be different than biblical values. And guess who needs to change? We do. When our values don't line up with God's values, we have to change. Right. Yeah? Right. Love all people. Be kind. But God's word's true, and he won't change. He's not going to change. We need to change to him. Amen? So we got to vote biblical values. We got to pay very close attention to the candidates, right? We are not going to elect pastors and church elders to these positions of leadership in our government. Did you know that? That's not who's on the ballot. We're talking people that are at least open to the idea of a biblical value. Right? At least open to it. So pay attention to that, amen? And pray. Don't forget to pray over this election, amen? Don't be worried. Don't be fearful. God's not shaken. He's not quaking. He's good, right? He just wants his people who are called by his name to humble themselves and pray, right? Because we want to live peaceably on this earth so that we can continue to do the work of God right till Jesus comes back, amen? That's our calling as Americans, is to continue to do the work of God and fund the gospel around the world, amen? Okay. Did you have something that I needed to add? Oh, after service. Okay, sounds good. See if there's just anything else. A lot to cover today, but you guys ready? You buckled in? Got your seatbelts on? Your hair slicked back? Here we go. It's going to be good. God's teaching us some things. You know that? When we come together as church and he's got things for us, it's because we need it for what's coming up. Did you know that? He's thinking of things ahead of time for us because he knows the end from the beginning. So these are things we've got to know. We've got to put in our hearts. We've got to sow and think about. Don't just let this be a one-off sermon and that you thought, oh, that was okay, and I got a few things, and then you forget it. By Monday or Tuesday, you're like, now what did he say? Make sure when God prompts things in your heart that you write them down. Put them in your phone. Every one of our smartphones has a notes section in it. We even had pads of paper. You guys remember what those are? In the seats in front of you with pens that you could write something down and put it in your pocket and stick it to your wall or to your door or to your mirror so that you can recall what God said to you. Because if he said something to you and you value it, you will write it down. Amen. So he's teaching us. He's helping us because we got something coming up that we need to know this stuff for. It's important that we get it, that we soak it up and we get it into our spirits. Amen? That's why it's important whenever you can be here, be here. Don't miss. Because when you miss out on this flow, you miss out on this presence, you miss out on this anointing that's here in this place. It's different than when you watch online. We figured that out real quick in just a couple of months in March and April. Amen? It's different when we're together. And that's no condemnation when you watch online. But if you can get here, get here. Amen. Be here. There's something that happens here when we're together. Amen. That's why he said, assemble together. Yeah. Amen. So we've been in this series that I'm wrapping up today on apologetics and the validity of the Bible, that it's accurate and current, and how to share our faith. That's what apologetics is to be able to defend and share your faith. And I think by and large as Christians, we have missed opportunities to know what we believe and be able to convey that to somebody else. Have you ever been in a discussion with somebody? And they throw out some stuff or some questions or some ideas that you just don't have an answer for. I'm not asking you to have all the answers. But what we should be able to do, according to Scripture, is be able to defend our faith. Have a defense for the hope that is in you. Amen? And it should be more than, well, I just believe it. And that's good. You should. Jesus said, blessed are they who believe and don't see. Amen? There's things we believe that we cannot see. But we believe them because the word says them, amen? But there's also some truth to having some ammunition ready to go. This is why I believe what I believe. This is why it makes sense to me. Did you know logic and reason will always point to a creator? Logic, reason, science always points to a creator. You got to do gymnastics through hula hoops to not see a creator in all that we see. Yeah? So we can defend what we believe, but we got to take some time and some effort to do that. So we talked about how the Bible's accurate, the most accurate document of all time. Historically speaking, has the most support, has the most documentation, has been proven the most accurate of any document as old as it is. Any. Because of how close of a time the New Testament was written from when the time and the events happened, we know that. From the archaeological finds from the Old Testament, they're finding today in our lives. Noah's Ark, the Red Sea drowning of Pharaoh's chariots. I mean, these are things they can point to. You can see them. The Bible's accurate. It's telling us the truth. Amen? We also proved that Jesus was a real person. The Son of God came in flesh, lived, died, and rose again. And that the empty tomb and that his resurrection is provable in history because of what the Bible says and other supporting documents from the time. We can prove it. It means if we have a risen Lord, and we do, then what we believe is true. Amen? And we talked about sharing our faith, telling our story last week, and relating to people in some way. Paul said, I became all things to all people, that I might win some. Come on, relating to people in a way is something that you can do. It's a skill, it's an art. You can cultivate how to do that. And then when you relate, now you have an open door to talk to people about Jesus. Amen? I don't think any of us are willing to let anybody go to hell. I mean, when we really think about it, who are we willing? Y'all are thinking of politicians right now. Stop it. They all need Jesus, amen? They all need Jesus. Come on, there's nobody we'd stand on the precipice of hell and say, see you later. No, we'd do something, amen? Wouldn't we? Because that's forever. You don't come back from that one. So, you know, we've got to have some gumption in us that's willing to step out of our comfort zone and say some things that might seem offensive to somebody. But in reality, you're just saying, man, you're on the edge. And I'm trying to pull you back from the brink. Amen? So how do we engage with people? How do we converse? How do we connect with people? Now, some of your personalities, the very idea of talking to somebody outside of your sphere of influence is utterly terrifying. Can I get an amen? I am not one of those people. But you know what? That's not an out for you to not share, to not talk, to not engage. That's not an out. Because we will stand before our Creator and He will ask us, did you do what I asked you to do? Did you go into all the world and preach the gospel? Come on, your world. Did you share your faith? Did you lay hands on anybody and watch them recover? Did you cast the devil out of somebody that needed the devil cast out of them? Come on, we're going to stand before Him and give an account. And He's not going to accept, well, my husband, well, my wife, well, you knew where I was raised, Lord. Well, my personality is an introvert, and I'm just not, none of that's going to fly. Yeah? Nor is steam rolling over somebody else's feelings just because you're an extrovert and you can. Come on, you can't just bowl over people. Amen? So how do we engage with people when it's scary? Let me give you a couple of tips. You have to understand that when we talk to people, when we're trying to engage in conversation, when we're trying to connect with people, because there's a greater good in our intention, is for them to not go to hell, but to make heaven, and not just make heaven, to make Jesus the Lord of their life and see the most dramatic impact they have ever known in a human being's life, to know Jesus as their Lord and Savior. He affects everything in their life. Amen? We know this. But when we do that, we are not on the hook to get them saved. Did you know that? Otherwise, Jesus would have said, go into all the world and get everybody born again. He didn't say that. He said, preach the gospel. Share your faith. Be ready to give a defense of the hope that's in you. Amen? Our job is to sow a bunch of seed. And when you do that regular, you're going to get a chance to lead people to Jesus. But not everybody you talk to, you're going to lead to Jesus. You're sowing seeds. You're a sower. Paul said he planted, and then Apollos watered. But who gave the increase? Come on, help me out. Paul planted, and Apollos watered. Who brought the increase? It was God. Amen? He brought the increase. It's the Holy Spirit's job to draw men to repentance. But we got to plant some seed and water it. Amen? So there, the average is, the statistic is that if for somebody to be born again and give their heart to Jesus, they're going to hear from somebody or get that seed planted at least, or at an average of, not at least, but an average of seven times. Seven times. I mean, some people say yes on the first. You can have faith to believe in Jesus the first time you hear. Why? Because faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. But there are others that need the seed sown. And somebody's going to have to water that. You could be planting the seed or you could be watering the seed in their process. You know that? So when you share, don't get discouraged. Know that you're just another step in the ladder of them finding Jesus. And never miss an opportunity. If you can, never miss an opportunity to make the invitation. How about now? So don't get hung up on the, man, this is too much pressure. I mean, what if I fail? You're planting seed and you're watering. You see that? So this is how we think when we go in and we're going to make conversation with somebody. We're going to try to relate to them in some way, talk about something. Amen? You don't have to share the gospel in every conversation. You can build relationship. You can sow seed. Get them to think. Amen? You know, one of the best ways that we're going to talk about a little bit today is to ask people questions. Jesus was asked 183 questions in the four Gospels. 183 questions. Guess how many questions Jesus asked? 307. Jesus asked questions. I like asking questions when people ask me questions. It's infuriating to my wife. What would you like for dinner? What would you like for dinner? When your kids do it back to you, you know you're doing something well, but man, oh man. Did you clean your room today? Do you think I cleaned my room today? Stop it right now. Stop using what I do to you back on me. Stop it. Answer the question. Jesus was asked 25 questions that required a direct answer. They seemed like they required a direct answer. Guess how many direct answers he gave in those direct answer questions? He gave 4. 21 of them, he asked a question again. Go over to John chapter 1. John chapter 1. Jesus' first question to his first followers was, "What do you seek?" Or, "What are you looking for?" John 1, verse 35. You guys ready for this? This is going to help you. Again, the next day, John stood with 2 of his disciples. And looking at Jesus, he said, "Behold, the Lamb of God." This is John the Baptist. He told 2 of his followers, his disciples, looking at Jesus as he walked, said, "Behold, the Lamb of God." And the 2 disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. And then Jesus turned, and seeing them following, said to them, "What do you seek?" Or, "What are you looking for?" And they said to him, "Rabbi," which is respectful. They're calling him teacher. "Where are you staying?" And he said to them, "Come and see." They came and saw where he was staying and remained with him that day. Jesus is asking these guys, "What are you looking for?" That's a great question to ask somebody. Come on, you're going to get into a situation where people are just unsure about life. They're unsure about what this whole thing means, what their purpose is, right? Is there a creator? Is there not? I don't know. That's a great question. You can say, "What are you looking for? What do you want? What is it that you..." Get them to think. We all want purpose. Life is meaningless without purpose. There has to be something more than just this. And every human being knows that on the inside. There has to be something more than this. Because if this is all there is, what's the point? You can do whatever you want. Where's the moral absolutes? Where's that check on the inside when you're doing something you shouldn't? Where's that peace on the inside when you know you're right with Him? There is something after this. There's purpose, there's meaning, there's value. It's a great question. What are you looking for? Jesus asked good questions. Luke chapter 10. You can ask good questions. Luke chapter 10. Asking a question opens up somebody to tell you about themselves. Most people, not all, most people like to tell you. Did you know that about yourself? You like to, there are times when you like to be excited with somebody else about what God's doing in your life. Amen? You like to share those things. People want to talk about what's going on in their lives. And it gives you a window and access into people's lives where you can ask the right questions and be prompted by the Holy Spirit to say the right things in the right season, at the right time. Jesus did this all the time. He asked questions to get people to think. Luke chapter 10, verse 25. Parable of the Good Samaritan. You guys with me? Everybody okay? Anybody need coffee? Come on, y'all. You all right? "And behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tested him, saying, 'Teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?' And Jesus said to him, 'What is written in the law?'" Question. "What is your reading of it?" He's asking him a question, right? Get him to talk. "So he answered and said, 'You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself.' And Jesus said to him, 'You have answered rightly. Do this and you will live.'" But that wasn't enough. So he asks one more question. And he, wanting to justify himself, said to Jesus, "And who is my neighbor?" He wants a definition. Who is this neighbor that I love as myself? And Jesus answered with a story. And he said, a certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves who stripped him of his clothing, wounded him, and departed, leaving him half dead. Now by chance, a certain priest came down that road. And when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. And likewise, a Levite. And when he arrived at the place, came and looked and passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was. And when he saw him, he had compassion. Samaritans and Jews did not mix. They were considered unclean by the Jewish people. So this was a cultural thing. This was a problem that Jesus was addressing. This is not okay. They were of a different ethnicity. So he brings it right to the front. And this Samaritan had compassion on him. Verse 34. So he went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring oil and wine. And he set him on his own animal and brought him to an inn, took care of him. And on the next day, when he departed, he took out 2 denarii, gave them to the innkeeper and said to him, take care of him. And whatever more you spend when I come again, I will repay you. So which of these three do you think was neighbor to him who fell among the thieves? So he asks a question at the end of the story and he puts the religious guy, the lawyer, on the spot. He's got to answer the question. Who's the neighbor? He's got to admit that the Samaritan, who they believe to be the scourge of the earth, was more neighborly than the two religious people. Come on, when you get people to answer these hard questions, it gets them to think. And he answered and said, He who showed mercy on him. And Jesus said, go and do likewise. He didn't even say Samaritan. He just said, he who showed mercy on him. Asking questions gets people to open up, gets them to think. When you can get somebody else to answer these tough questions, come on, it makes them think. What do you think will happen after we die? You get all kinds of answers to that, right? I'm going to come back as an eagle. Right? And if you know him well enough, you might be like, you're thinking turkey is what you're going to come back as. Get all kinds of answers from that question. I don't believe there's anything after this. There's probably a deity. There's probably a, well, if you did stand before God, what would he say? Guilty or not guilty? You know, people will say that there is no God in that first question, what happens after you die? And then they'll answer the second one. Seems counterintuitive, but they will. Everybody wants to be justified before a creator. Well, I've been good. I've done more good than bad. Those are open doors. Those are open doors, amen? I think it's valuable to take the time to know how to talk to people. Because, you know, we can get along quaint right here. In our little church, these four walls, we can get along. We can like each other. We can do good things. Come on now. We're supposed to live this stuff 6 days a week outside of here. You know? That's why we're here. It's to grow and to learn and to stretch and to be more capable when we leave here so we can reach the lost. And we can be. When people ask us about our faith, or they ask us a tough question about God, you know you can respond with a question? Amen. Don't feel like you have to answer all these tough questions, especially when you might be unsure on your own. Get people to talk. If there's a good God, why is there so much evil in the world? Everybody heard that one? Pretty popular question. You can respond by saying, that's a great question. Why do you ask that? You're going to find out real quick why they're angry at God. Because people get hurt. Stuff happens in this life. And people blame God for that. Christians blame God for that. Preachers blame God for bad stuff. And people get disillusioned to what it is to serve God. Why would you serve a God that would do that? We don't believe God gives people cancer to teach them something. That's not Bible. We don't believe God injures people or damages people or hurts them to teach them something. He's a good daddy. When he disciplines his kids, he does it the right way. That's not broken legs and diseases. No more than you would for your kids. You can't prove that with Scripture. It's not in there. Jesus was the express image of the Father. If we were supposed to have some diseases and some ailments and some injuries, we would see it in the Gospels, and Jesus would have told us. God gave you that suffer through. We don't see that. Because it's not in there. God's a good God. What people fail to realize is that there's an enemy. You know, it's pretty tough to fight a war when you don't even know there's an enemy. You don't even know where the arrows are coming from. You think it's your Savior, your Creator doing this to you? How do you fight? How do you stand strong? How do you trust in God when you think it's Him? It's a deceit and a lie from the enemy. Amen? I like this question, this statement followed by the question. Because we live in the age where we're going to see Jesus return. Make no mistake. He is coming back in our lifetime. The generation that sees Israel become a nation and Jerusalem won back will see the second coming of Christ. Plain as day. 1948, Israel became a nation, May 14th. Come on, that generation will not pass away till all is fulfilled. We're going to see it. We're close. So I love this statement. Hey, you know Jesus is coming back. Are you ready? It's a statement with a question. Put somebody on the spot. Try it. Even people that don't believe in Jesus know that phraseology. If they don't, enlighten them. But it's a great statement. Jesus is coming back. Are you ready? Because you'll get all kinds of answers. No, I hope not. That's terrifying. Yes, I'm ready. And you can ask questions to all of those answers. No, I'm not ready. Do you want to be ready? Because you can be sure right now. Open door. That's terrifying. What are you scared about? What are you scared about God fulfilling His word and Jesus coming back? What are you scared about? These are great questions. Yes, I'm ready. Okay, that's great that you're ready. Tell me what you mean by that. Right? Yes, I'm ready could mean I've been good. I've been in church my whole life. I've been doing good stuff my whole life. Yeah? There's just lots of opportunities if we'll think about it. If we'll just take the time to just, God, how can I be a blessing to people? I would encourage you to break out of your routine. We like our routine. Anybody like your routine? I mean, I like the way I drive home, right? I like that my slippers are right next to the shoes that I walked in on. I just slip my feet into some warm slippers and I come in the house. I love that. There's things I like about my routine. But sometimes we got to break out of our routine when we're out and about because God has other people for us to get around, right? You can shop at a different store once in a while or get gas from a different place once in a while. You can go out of your way on a God assignment. But if you don't process and think about this, you won't take the time to do it. I'm telling you, God has people for you to come across that you can sow seed or water seed that's already in them or reap the harvest of the seed that has already been sown and lead people to Jesus. Amen? Invite them to church and get their name and number and follow up with them. I know I'm preaching to the choir. I know that. Y'all are like, yeah, we know this. It's just an encouragement to know when we're at the end of the end, and we make no mistake, we're at the end of all ages. This is the time when we just buckle down and we really just go after the things of God. Come on, God cares about how you treat your family and how you perform on your job. He cares about that stuff, but He cares about the lost. I mean, that's the heartbeat of God, and it should be the heartbeat of the church. The lost. The lost. Because we don't want anybody to go to hell. Flag them down. The bridge is out. You need to turn around. Don't keep going this way. Danger, Will Robinson. Everybody over 50 got that. The kids are like, who's Will Robinson? Who is that guy? Will Robinson? Look it up. Anybody ever heard of the Roman road to salvation? This is a great way to lead people to Jesus. So if you're writing things down, write down these references, these scripture references, because you can take them to them on your phone app. You can take it to them on your Bible. You could memorize these scriptures and just quote them from memory. This is a great way to lead people to Jesus. It starts with John 3:16. Everybody familiar with that one? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe in him would not perish, but have everlasting life, right? And 17 is a great one too, because God says he didn't send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but the world through Jesus might be saved. Amen. Come on, there's no condemnation. God's not upset with people. He just wants them to get born again. Believe in Jesus. Amen? Amen. And then that leads us into Romans 3:23. Romans 3:23 that says, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. All of us. Come on, it's easy to find people that'll admit they've made some mistakes. Because to God, there's not levels of sin. You know, Paul's listing all these things that will keep you from inheriting the kingdom of God. And he's got adultery and fornication and all kinds of nasty stuff. And then he slips in liars and thieves. And see, we think liars and thieves is low-level sin. God puts it in the whole mess. If you're a liar and you're not born again, guess what? You're in trouble. Amen? All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Then it takes us to Romans chapter 5. But God demonstrated his own love toward us in this, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Come on, people need to know that. While you're a rascal, Jesus died for you. He knew you were going to be a rascal. He died for you. Amen? And that takes us to Romans 6:23. For the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. The price has to be paid. Jesus paid it for us when we receive him. And then it takes us right to Romans 10:9 and 10. Come on, this is a hoorah. Romans 10:9 and 10, that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Amen. Believe in your heart, confess with your mouth. This is the way, amen? Amen. And then the last verse, that's the call for people to say yes to Jesus, comes out of Revelation 3:20. And Jesus said, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man open the door, I will come in with him and abide with him and he with me. That's the invitation. Jesus is standing at the door of your heart. He's knocking. Come on, he wants to be a part of your life. He wants to be the central focus of your life. This is our Lord and Savior. King of Kings cares about each person individually. Yeah? And we can share that and convey that with people. So I encourage you to write those down. John 3:16, 17. Romans 3:23. Romans 5:8. Romans 6:23. Romans 10:9 and 10, and Revelation 3:20. Have those in your back pocket. Have those in your repertoire. Have those where you could take somebody and show them this is why we need a Savior. Amen? There's a lot of stories of people being or having an intersection with Christians right before they might have walked away from the Lord, right before they might have ended their own life. And Jasmine told me a story one time when she was in her teens that she was in church and the Lord gave her a prompting on the inside, a word of encouragement, word of knowledge. Come on, spiritual gifts, they're alive and well. For somebody that had come in that was brand new. Somebody was brand new. And they looked homeless and smelt homeless, rough. But come on, when God prompts you to do something, you need to step out. So all the hemming and hawing she said she did in her own mind, she just obeyed. And she stepped up to this guy and spoke a word of encouragement to him, that God's not done with him, that he still has plans, and that he sees you and he knows you and all that you've been through, but he loves you and he cares about you. And he just cried like a baby. And when the story comes out, when he gathers himself, the answer that he says is, this was my last shot. I was going to end my life today, but I was going to give God one more shot to see if my life mattered, to see if somebody cared, to see if somebody would even notice. And somebody stepped up that was a teenage girl. Come on, teens. God's got something for you to do. Spoke something into their life, right? Linda's dad, Linda Meyer, she's back with the toddlers, bless her heart, retired teacher, back there with the two-year-olds, serving Jesus. She made a point to go see her dad on a regular basis every year. And when he got bad, when his health got bad, she went and saw him a lot over the last few months of his life. She was gone a lot. But he didn't know Jesus. And she was going to give him every opportunity. Her father. Her every opportunity. You know, before he died, he gave his heart to the Lord because of her faithfulness and her persistence, being willing to go. California. And that's like going out of the country. It matters what we do. It matters that we take the time to hear from God. Amen? It matters that we do what he asked us to do. Lives hang in the balance. Thank you, Lord. So I'm going to encourage you. Do some homework. Put the work in that it takes to hear from God, to see some things in Scripture, to have the hope and the defense of the hope that's in you, to be able to ask some questions, to be skillful in the Word of God. Take the time to memorize some Scripture. Memorize the Roman road. Memorize some things that are on your heart, because God will give you these Scriptures. He will give you these things so that you can share them with others. They'll be a blessing to you and others. Amen? Because people's lives do hang on the balance. They do. Let me pray for you.